How many of you have your Christmas lights up? How many still need to get them up? We're slowly our neighborhood. Somebody, you know, there's people that had it up like the week before Thanksgiving. As like, maybe that was the weekend they were open, available to do that. But we got ours up, and it's always an adventure. This year Jackie helped me so she could hand unroll the lights as we put them on. I really love Christmas lights. I can remember as a kid just being loving the colors. Some of them blinked, like Stephen says. He doesn't like them blinking fast because you might have seizures. But it just something peaceful about the color of lights. And I just remember I'd come home and sit in the driveway and just stare at them. Just the color of it and the reflection and against the night was just so pretty. It's interesting how traditions and stuff we grow up with influence us. Because you really, is there a spiritual connection to that in the Bible? Well, maybe the stars, you know. But there's something in our memories, what we have great memories of. It clicks, and it's that place that reminds us what of a good memory. And I pray that you would have established some great memories this season, so that you may have some things that were hard, but that you would say, okay, we're going to make a great tradition. We're going to choose to allow this to be a peaceful time, a welcoming time. It is busy. It is busy. We had some folks over to our house last night, and I dedicated myself all day long to do whatever my wife told me to do. She's a good planner, and so she had a whole list of stuff to do, and we got it all done. And I was shocked that it took as much time as it did, but she knew it was going to. We found ourselves just comfortable. We didn't get snappy at each other or anything, which is a miracle. But it was really good. It was really good. And I'm so glad. Hey, it's only taken, 30 years of marriage for me to finally realize if your wife needs help, be full all in. And I was. And we enjoyed a day. It was a great day. And we went to sleep last night just saying thank you to each other. And it was just, anyways. Well, we're looking at a series for Christmas called The Christmas Dilemma. And we talked about that last week, but I just want to start with prayer. If you'd join me, because I may be talking about a message and some words and some thoughts on a page, but the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning that we get to come and worship you. Lord, thank you, Lord, that we get shaken out of our, out of the fog, shaken out of maybe out of discouragement, shaken out of just not focusing, Lord. But we say, God, would you work through fallible, fragile people that we are and help us understand who you are. God, would you help us enjoy your gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we looked at a dilemma, and just kind of review, just a dilemma. What is a dilemma? It's a situation in which a difficult choice has to be made. And not just between good choices, right? But a dilemma is like there are two difficult choices. They are alternatives, but they're equally undesirable. I don't want to do that, and I don't do that. You know, sometimes I think about the dilemma of voting, right? It was like, oh, I don't want that, but I want that, but I got to make a choice. There's a dilemma. Last time we talked about the dilemma of Joseph that he had, the dilemma of doubt that was facing. It's like, what do you do in this situation? This week we want to look at another dilemma. And as we turn with me to Luke chapter 1, we're going to pick up our story with verse 26. And if you have your Bibles, you can look there. Or if you don't, or if you want to, you can look up on the screen. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Elizabeth is a relative of Mary. We don't know if she's a cousin, possibly she was an aunt, but she's a relative. And she's in her 6 months of pregnancy. And if you look at those first verses in Luke, he describes they are old. They're old. They have never had children. And God sends his angel Gabriel to tell her she's going to have a kid. And so the news travels, because it's ridiculous, is that her husband, Zechariah, he can't even talk anymore. He is speechless. And he is signing and writing. The news has traveled. You know Mary knows about this. She's heard about that. About this mystery of this pregnancy that Elizabeth has. And in this sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's when Gabriel shows up to Mary. He got to bring the message to Elizabeth. And maybe he's like the pregnancy announcer, I don't know. But he gets to come to Mary and give her some news. Mary is from Nazareth. It's a little town on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. It's just north of the fishing villages. And she's pledged to be married to this man, Joseph. And he's unique in the sense his descendancy, what his relatives trace back to King David. And as we go on, we'll find out why that's significant. And he's pledged to be married to Mary. So we look at, and we talked a little bit last week, but just to remind us, is that engagement is not the same as being pledged. It's because it's unique, right? When they became engaged or betrothed, they became husband and wife. In fact, that's how people referred to them. But what's unique about that period is that they don't live together. They don't sleep together. For how long? You remember how long that period was? A year. I don't know about you, but man, some of us can't even... We get a phone number, we get home, we call it as soon as we get home. When you find somebody that you're interested in. They're not only interested in each other, they're pledged and betrothed to get married. At this place, and then at this time when Joseph is getting his house ready for Mary to come, and Mary's putting all the supplies together to set up a home, it's in this year of preparation that Gabriel shows up to Mary. He shows up to her, and he says, "Greetings, Mary. Hey, what's up?" I'm sure he was a little more respectful than that. But he says, "You who are highly blessed, the Lord God is with you." You know what's kind of weird is what's Mary's response? She's troubled by that. She's troubled by that kind of greetings. Why would Mary be troubled by that greeting? God showing up to Mary was confusing to her. Why would it be confusing to her? She was just a young girl. In fact, Jewish culture, you know, we always think of, and maybe just for sake of our own kids, we always say, "Oh, she was just a teenager. She might have been 16 or 17. Well, the reality of Jewish culture, she might have been as young as 12 years old. Past puberty. She would have been possibly that young. And Mary's confused, like, what in the world is going on? Why would God send an angel to come and talk to me, a little girl? She came from a poor family. That just the Nazareth was an agricultural community. It was not the business hub. There was not wealth. Her family and her culture really, I think, had fooled her into thinking that you don't arrive until you have kids, until you have your own family. She had no kids. She had no family. She was betrothed to be married. The second thing I think I see her being confused about is God showing up in Nazareth was confusing. You can understand when Zechariah was in the temple in Jerusalem serving God, that of course an angel would show up there. Not only is he in the temple, he's in the Holy of Holies. He's in that holy place serving. And then Gabriel shows up to give him the news. You can understand. But Nazareth was surrounded by a whole Gentile culture. It was really hard to keep a kosher kitchen. You had trouble buying the stuff you needed to be a real Jew. It had a reputation, and it wasn't a good one. In fact, John records right when Philip comes and hears that Jesus is from Nazareth, what he says, Nazareth? What good can come from that town? What good can come from there? So it had a reputation that was outside of the area. God wants to show up, Mary, in big cities, and he wants to show up in small cities. He wants to show up to notable people, and he wants to show up to inconspicuous people. God wants to show up on Wall Street, and he wants to show up at Walmart. God wants to show up. Gabriel, he looks at Mary, and can you imagine the news? Sometimes I just like telling people. You don't tell them the whole story, you just like tell them one piece of it, and then you just look at their face just to kind of see what kind of reaction you can get from them. But Gabriel, he sees those wheels whirring in her head and that look on Mary's face of confusion, and he goes on in verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Gabriel says it again. You have been given God's favor. Not because of where you come from, Mary. I know I'm in Nazareth. It's not because of you're a notable person. Mary, I know that you're just a young girl who really is just at the front end of the life ahead of her. But God is showing you his favor because you have shown personal responsibility and integrity. Mary had set that time aside. She wanted to do things right. She wanted to marry a husband and be faithful. And as she prepared, she had integrity. And I think God knew as he looked down, she was available. Mary was the kind of person that was available and responsive. Have you ever told somebody or heard somebody tell you, "Hey, call me whenever you need something. Just give me a call." And you call them, and maybe they help you, or maybe they say, "Oh, sorry, I can't. It's a bad time." But you said, "Call me whenever you need." It's not always convenient. God shows up to Mary because of what he sees in her. God has chosen Mary to give you his grace, to give you his favor, his unearned gift of favor. Gabriel goes on and gets to the point in verse 31. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Do you think that Mary knew what that was about? She was overwhelmed. A child is going to be conceived in her. God's overshadowing power is going to make himself known. The God who makes something out of nothing. And he tells him, you're going to call him Jesus. And we don't always see, because we talked about last week that it's a Greek version of the name Joshua, which means what? The Lord saves. He's going to live up to his name. And not only that, Mary, he's going to be a big deal. He will be called the Son of the Most High. the Son of God. And it's interesting, our versions say the Son of God. If you look at the original, it means he's going to be called holy. Holy. He's going to be the king and sit on the throne handed down through the king, through King David, and reign over all of God's promised people. He's going to be the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. I'd say that's a big deal. And Mary, I want to use your womb to bring him into the world. Well, Mary, that's about it. Got any questions? Yeah. I said, Gabriel, I have never slept with a man. And I'm not planning to sleep with Joseph either. I'm pledged to be married. How in the world can this be? How am I going to get pregnant? Good question, Mary. The angel answers, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called holy. I did a little parenthetic there. I didn't realize. I had that in my notes. I'd forgotten to take that out. The Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who is said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Do you think Gabriel would have given her that information had Mary not asked? I wonder. Have you ever been asked a question that your inability to answer, hey, will you come over and help me do this? Oh, I can't. I have to work. It's like, whew. You know, it's those kind of questions that really we're looking for a way out. But Mary's question wasn't that. She wanted to know, and we can understand it, and realistically, how in the world can this be? That was a reasonable question. And those are the kind of questions God wants to answer. But at some point, the questions that we ask are based in doubt. Or maybe something we don't want to be available to, or we don't like what we're going to hear. You know, it's always interesting when we know people who are making poor choices, they'll quit hanging out with friends who challenge them in right choices. They don't want the grief. They don't want people to be challenging them. So they'll avoid it because they don't want to be asked the question. But Gary, because of Mary's heart, Gabriel answers Mary's question and confirms the sureness of God's plan. Right? For no word from God will ever fail. But there's a dilemma. Mary had a dilemma of saying yes. Why? Because saying yes means divorce. This isn't going to go well with Joseph. An angel showed up to me and told me I was going to get pregnant. I was going to conceive a son. Yeah, Joseph is going to love that one. That's the end of my betrothal. That's not only the end of the dream for my wonderful family with my kids that I'm going to have. I may get brought before the council and before the elders and be stoned for what has happened. Saying yes was a dilemma. Not only because it meant divorce, but because it would mean being disowned. How would friends and family face Mary? It's kind of obvious, right? At first you can hide it, but at some point you can't hide it anymore. She's pregnant. Really? I didn't sleep with anybody. Mary, I'm sure she thought, I wouldn't even believe me. I mean, really? they'll avoid me. They won't speak to me. They won't even trust me what I say anymore. And not only that, men will look at me differently, thinking that I'm loose. You see, Creator God, who made all things, who's formed you, Mary, who has plans for you, His Holy Spirit comes and takes what you have to give and combines it with who He is, and He creates a future. He creates something that you can't imagine, something that you couldn't put your finger on, something that you couldn't put to yourself, together yourself. And He's going to conceive a son, and His name will be Holy. Our dilemma of saying yes becomes clear when we believe what God says. I remember I was thinking of quitting my job. It was a good job down the Bay Area in California. It was a job I enjoyed. It was a job I was good at. But I just felt a drawing to something different. I always wanted to have my own business. I always wanted to be something different and bigger than what was happening. And I didn't know how that was going to happen. And I remember sharing with my wife, it's like, you know what? I want to move back to the Northwest. I said, I'm thinking Oregon. We have some friends that moved to Albany. And we're like, why don't we move there where we know somebody? And needless to say, she was a little anxious because I had a plan, but I didn't have a job. Does that sound like an issue? That's an issue when you got kids, and it's like, you know, us guys, sometimes we go off with great ideas and not knowing where it's going to lead. And our wives are saying, what in the world are you thinking? What are you doing? And I remember just as she, you know, she didn't say no, but she didn't say yes. Let's go for this. But I kept pursuing and asking questions. And as she prayed and said, God, what are you doing? And she prayed for the answers, like, is this the right thing, or is just Scott trying to get satisfied in a way that he will never be satisfied? And I remember she shared and released us to pursue the adventure. She said that the Lord spoke to her heart. It says, you need to let Scott go and get the job that's waiting for him. I didn't know this at the time because I was happy to go. I was looking forward to the adventure, and I knew God would take care of us. I didn't know how. I had a plan, but I didn't have a job. But as Jackie walked out, she had her own relationship with the Lord to work through. And in that place that she trusted that God would provide, and she gave the green light and partnered me with me in looking for a house and getting our house ready to sell down there. What does Mary say next? What does she say? How does she respond? I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Are there any more questions to ask? Yeah. But she settled, saying, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you. As she wrestled with that, saying yes, and that dilemma of saying yes, you said, yes, I trust you, God, to work out my life for your glory. God, I trust you to take care of me because you love me and because I am highly favored. Did you know that every single person who has given their heart to the Lord can say that about themselves? I love Phil. If you ask him how he's doing, you guys know what he says? What does he say? Blessed. Phil, how are you today? Blessed and highly favored. Not because of he's notable, not because of the town he comes from, but because God has chosen him. Every single person that has given their life to Jesus Christ as their Savior is highly favored. God knows you. God loves you. God cares about you. And in that place of security, we can do some really scary things because God told us to. God asked us to. We can trust Him. would Mary's yes come without consequence? Saying yes to God doesn't mean everything's going to go well. Because we had some challenges. When we got, you get to town with no job and start to, we had some savings and it started to go down a little quicker than we had planned. But God took care of us. He provided income. He provided the job. He provided us great schools for our kids. Provided relationships. In fact, my wife, in the miracle of just even going and working with her kids, they found out that she could do sign language and they hired her that day, next day. And we're like, Lord, thank you. And she got not only to get a little more income in her house, but she got to be in our kids' classroom every day. God took care of us. There were worries, and Mary was going to have other problems to overcome. And sometimes saying yes means being misunderstood by people. It may mean a black eye on our character because they don't understand what God has called us to do. But God is faithful. God will take care of us all the way. We have another little vignette from Mary's perspective. Watch with me.
Well, you sure have made a grand entrance into this world now, haven't you? Not an entrance a king would make. A manger of all places. No palace, no guards. Just a barn and a lot of hay, if you ask me. What am I to make of all of these guests? That silent night sure got loud fast. I suppose you'd like to know how all this came to be, wouldn't you? Well, on an ordinary day, more ordinary than you can imagine, an angel came to me. I know. I had trouble believing it myself. He spoke of things I couldn't really comprehend. He spoke of you. The Son of the Most High. He looked straight at me, as if to ask, "Will you say yes?" It was the scariest yes I'd ever uttered, tell you the truth. This was an impossible yes that only God could make possible. Never in my wildest dreams. Speaking of dreams, is it okay that I have dreams for you too? All mamas have dreams for their babies, you know. Even babies announced by heavenly hosts. My little one. I have a strange feeling this will not be the only yes required of me. I cannot begin to imagine the yeses that will be required of you. God help me. One faithful day at a time, to keep saying yes.
Saying yes to God means to trust His favor and trust His word. Romans 8:37, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Philippians 4:19, And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. And Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I just think one of the greatest adventures is working through those dilemmas of yes. To say yes to God, because on the other side is what Henry Blackaby calls experiencing God. You can't experience God unless you say yes through your dilemmas. Because those things that you can't figure how they're going to work out. When God calls you to something, he's got a provision for you on the other side. If you've got it all figured out, that's not faith. God wants to trust him for who he is and what he says is going to happen. We will never have all the answers until we walk through it. But I love experiencing God. I love enjoying my relationship with him and seeing things transpire that would never happen had I ever never worked through those dilemmas of saying yes. Stephen, would you come up? And I would want to sing that song again. Yes and amen. Faithful you are. All your promises are yes and amen. I just challenge you. You know what those things that God's moving you towards. You may not know what it looks like, but part of saying yes is saying, God, I trust you that you're going to take care of me. And I would love for anybody here, not only just in those dilemmas, but if you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a great morning to do it. I'm going to ask you, when we finish this song, if that's you, to raise your hand. Why don't you lead us, Stephen? Stand with me as we sing this.
Hi. Now the one that says acoustic guitar. Yeah. Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. Brought me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faithful you are. Faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are, and all your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Beautiful. beautiful Savior, you have brought me near. You pulled me from the ashes, you have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faithful you are, faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are, and all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. Faithful you are, faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are, and all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen.
God is faithful. You guys say yes this morning? Yes, Lord. Is there anybody here who's ready to step into relationship with Jesus Christ? I know this is one of those things that is, I call it like water baptism, going public, to be all in. I want Lebanon Four Square Church to know that if you bring your friends here, that they'll get asked good questions. If you come here, you'll get asked good questions. Will you guys step out and trust the Lord through your dilemma of yes? Thank you, Lord, that you're the God, the Creator, who can make something out of nothing. Lord, would you help us to see how working through our yeses is trusting that. Not just saying it and thinking it, but actually believing it. Bless this week as we head towards Christmas, Lord. Bless us in our influence at work, our influence at school, our influence with our family. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like prayer this morning, we have some folks that would love to pray with you up front. Remember to put your name down if you plan to go to the Christmas dinner. Love you guys.